Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I feel like we're going to have to play this more than once today. Maybe three times. I'm introducing the show here at 10. Me and Sal are going to be on together at 12. Sal's going to be solo at 1. You might get a couple different plays of this today. We have a very long Extra Point Show today here on WGR. Joe DiBiase, I'll take you from 10 to 12 solo. Sal will take you solo from 1 to 3. And we'll be together for that hour in between from 12 to 1. Instigators and 1 Bills Live off today. Be looking for your phone calls at 803-0550. I'd like today to be a call-in show. I could dabble for that. I don't have any guests booked for right now, so just me and you. I have a text out to my buddy Tom Gazzola, who I used to do the Locked On NHL podcast with. He covers the Edmonton Oilers for TSN out in Edmonton, and trying to get him on the show, but we're trying to work out times right now because of the time zone difference. He's got some stuff going on this morning, so we might get him on before the end of the show, if not, probably sometime next week. And I want to talk hockey today because Edmonton winning that series in five and McDavid being the one to end it, the numbers he has put up, he is on pace to set the NHL record in points in a single postseason. He's on pace to set the record, a Gretzky record. If you're ever on pace to set a Gretzky record, you've got my attention. I mean, I have been consumed by Alex Ovechkin's chase of the all-time goal record because I recognize that this is the sport where breaking all-time records will be the most rare. You know, football, it's always going to happen. Brady and Breeze breaking the passing yards record and the passing touchdowns record after Peyton Manning had done it 5 years before. And 10 years from now, Mahomes and Allen might do it, or probably will do it. Honestly, Mahomes will probably, at the end of the day, be the all-time leader in passing yards and passing touchdowns. You can expect in football that all-time records like that are going to get broken because offense is up compared to historical performances. NBA, same thing. Steph Curry at 30 breaks the all-time three-point record. LeBron is going to be the all-time leading scorer before it's all said and done, if he's not even already. I think he might be second or third to Kareem. The NBA, because scoring is up compared to history, records are going to get broken. NHL is the opposite, where you had 6-5 games on regularity in the 80s because nobody knew how to play goaltender. Now, nothing gets broken because Gretzky ran away with 300 points in a single season. It wasn't actually 300. It was 212, though.
That feels close enough. I know it's not really.
Right.
But it feels close enough.
I might be exaggerating, but I'm not exaggerating by as much as you might think. 212. He scored 92 goals in a season. He ran away with records. The idea that Connor McDavid, when he's playing guys that know how to play goaltender, teams that dive in front of shots. Everyone dives in front to block shots. The equipment has made it so that scoring will never return to what it was when Gretzky played. And even though, yes, scoring is up this year, McDavid is on pace for 52 points in the playoffs. That's if they were to reach the Stanley Cup final. And I'm not guessing they will. I think they would lose to Colorado in the next round. We'll see if Colorado even gets there, because St. Louis is giving them a really hard time. But if the Oilers were to get to the Stanley Cup final, Connor McDavid would be on pace to break the all-time record for points in a single postseason. He is playing out of this world. Last night, it wasn't even really him. He did score the game-winning goal, and that's an all-time moment for him. That's a clutch-level moment that will get you a lot of credit with certain people in the league. As your clutch, you perform in the playoffs. Dreisaitl was the machine last night. 4 assists. Every time he was on the ice, he had the puck, and you could not take it from him. Dreisaitl was the show last night in that series. So that's a little hockey, and I want to get to more hockey a little bit later on. And again, maybe with Tom Gazzola from TSN, but I'm waiting to hear from him. I've also got something coming up in the second hour. I don't have a good name for it yet, so Zach, maybe we can kind of workshop this at some point, and maybe we could throw it out to people on Twitter. What I've got right now for a name is Club Franchise. I think there's a better name out there for it, but essentially, what I'm trying to construct here is a nightclub that is only reserved for the franchise quarterbacks in the NFL. So you have different levels of the club, right? You'd have a certain guy, maybe it's Tom Brady, maybe it's Mahomes, maybe it's Allen, maybe it's Rodgers. Talk about who would be where. You have a certain guy that's up top. He's got the VIP lounge. He's got his own floor. You've got another floor, which is more priority guests. I don't know. Maybe that's Allen. Maybe that's somebody else. Maybe that's Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. I don't know. That's another floor. Then you've got the bar on the ground floor. You're in the club. You're in the club. You're not necessarily in VIP. You're not in anything that's priority, but you're in the club. You made it in. And then you've got the line outside. Who's at the front of the line? Who's at the back? Who's the bouncer not letting in? Like, you're not in yet. You're not in. I want to be the bouncer. And then I want to build this out. Good exercise to figure out, like, who are the real franchise quarterbacks in the NFL? And we'll have some fun with it. We'll put them in a nightclub setting. I kind of want to do this throughout the season. Guys go in and out. So, for instance, if I have, and I might have him in, I might not have him in. If I had Lamar Jackson, no, not even Lamar Jackson. Let's do Kyler Murray. If I had Kyler Murray in line to get into club franchise right now, he might have an amazing first half of the season, and I'll want to put him in. But to take from Chopin the Bulldogs' former game they used to play, the Earth Sports Fortress to Pantheon, which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically a collaboration hall of fame of all the sports where if someone gets in, someone has to come out. That's how I would love hall of fames to operate. I get why they don't operate that way, but that's how I would love to operate hall of fames. I'm going to put that into this exercise when we do that in the second hour. Of if someone goes in to currently named club franchise, but again, I'm open to better names. Someone goes in, someone's got to come out. Kyler Murray, if you want to go into the club, someone's got to get kicked out. Does Dak Prescott get kicked out? If he's in the first place, does Derek Carr get kicked out? I don't think I'll have Derek Carr in. So play around with that. I think that'll be fun in the second hour. But I want to start today's show with a poll that we put up on the afternoon show last night. And let me know at 803-0550. Where you stand on wide receiver for the Bills. Are we done? Are we completely done? Because it is interesting that there are several, not just one, but there are several high-profile wideouts that are still available on the open market. Julio Jones is without a team. Odell Beckham is without a team. T.Y. Hilton, Will Fuller, DeSean Jackson. That's really the group I want to focus on, because those are the highest rated guys, and they're all different, but for whatever reason, none of them at the moment have a team, and there really isn't a lot of rumors about any of them. Beckham a little bit. You're hearing a little bit about Beckham and the Rams still, that they're interested in bringing him back. You're hearing a little bit about Beckham and the Saints, because Jarvis Landry got asked about Beckham. They're best friends. Landry just signed with the Saints, and he got asked about Beckham, and he said he's recruiting him. And that kind of fits, because New Orleans, they now have three wide receivers in Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave. Two of them basically only run slants. They could use another vertical threat in a guy like Beckham. And now the Bills seem to be, you would think, set after they drafted Khalil Shakir in the fifth round out of Boise State without knowing what he can offer right away in his career. I think you could go either way. The Bills could either utilize one more body, or you just wouldn't want to touch it because of Gabriel Davis. By the way, Emmanuel Sanders would be another name that you'd want to throw into of the currently available. He has not retired. He has not sounded like he is itching to get back on the field, but he has not said he's retired. This becomes a Gabriel Davis question. It becomes a question of the level of confidence in Gabriel Davis, and also what you can expect his ceiling to be, and whether it's a good idea ever to take away his snaps. And as the Gabriel Davis stan that I was going into last season, I did not like the way the Bills operated their wide receiver rotation at the beginning of the season. Now, part of that might have been, and probably was, because Davis had an ankle injury. Davis had an injury early in the season, didn't really miss a lot of time, if any, maybe half a game, but might have limited him it through the first half of the season. But for whatever reason, whether it was injury, or it was just they didn't fully trust Davis yet, or whether it was they had promised a significant role to Emmanuel Sanders to get him to sign here. Whatever the reason, at the beginning of last season, Gabriel Davis was a bit player. He was a supporting cast. He was not a starter. He was not playing near 50% of the snaps. He was not commanding a high amount of targets. He essentially was not really a part of the offense, other than to come on the field when Stephon Diggs or Emmanuel Sanders needed a break, right? And I was always against that, because I always thought there was more there, and I still think there is more there. It's very curious to see what's going on with Davis right now in fantasy football. Guys that are putting their money where their mouth is, which is essentially what fantasy football is, just a vessel to get you to project what's going to happen in the NFL. The guys that are trying to project what's going to happen with Gabriel Davis, the variance is crazy. Some people are drafting him in the fourth round of fantasy drafts. He is going above guys like Michael Thomas, who I just mentioned, from the Saints, who was the best receiver in fantasy football a couple of years ago, and statistically the best receiver in football a couple of years ago. He's going at the one spot below Cortland Sutton, who is going to be Russell Wilson's number one wide receiver, it seems, at this point. He's going above Adam Thielen, Tyler Lockett, Devontae Smith in Philadelphia, Juju Smith-Schuster, who could lead the Chiefs in targets this year, Brandon Ayuk, Robert Woods, who's going to be the Titans' number one receiver, Chase Claypool, DeAndre Hopkins. I was about to go nuts over DeAndre Hopkins, but I remember now that he got suspended, right? Six games. So that's probably the reason why for that. But he is going above many other teams' top wide receiver, and he's going above some really talented guys. But there's a variance. Some people are taking them really high. Some people are taking them really low. It's the hardest question maybe to answer about the Bills right now is, what are they going to get? What are they going to get from Davis? If they give him, if Allen throws him the football 110 times this year, and I think that's in line for him. I think we are talking about a 100-plus target season on the way for Gabriel Davis. He's going to have that level of opportunity. There's a lot of vacated targets here. 170, I think, is the number. You had about over 100 from Cole Beasley that have gone away, and you have about 70-plus from Emmanuel Sanders that have gone away. And Jameson Crowder / Isaiah McKenzie, whoever's in the slot, they're going to eat up some of that, of course. But there should be 100 targets available for Gabriel Davis. What is 100 targets for Gabriel Davis going to look like? Because he has been hyper efficient on the targets he's had. In every facet of his route tree, down the field, he's been efficient, getting open, catching the ball deep. In the red zone, he's been like the most efficient receiver in football with the amount of touchdowns he has scored on the targets he's had in the last 2 years. You could be talking about a star season, a breakout level season. He had a breakout game against Kansas City, and he showed everyone that if you're going to double team Stephon Diggs on the other side, like the Chiefs did for the entirety of that playoff game, if you're going to do that, I am going to eat your number two corner alive one-on-one. So was he the benefactor of Diggs commanding a double team and the Chiefs' main focus being to take Stephon Diggs out of that playoff game? Yes, he was the benefactor of that. But he was good enough to take advantage of it and take advantage of it to a level that we have never seen. 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. He made that cornerback repeatedly look like he didn't belong in the NFL. That's how good Gabriel Davis can be. Is he Diggs? No. But you just can't ISO him up like that. He's sneaky fast. He's got a good frame physically. He is one of the best receivers in the NFL for his contested catch percentage. I'm going to bring up the number, but I believe he ranked 11th in the NFL this year, last year. Last year.
Yeah, last year.
2021, his contested catch rate was 58.3%. That was number 10 in the entire league. So, he'll get open. And again, he'll get open at different levels. Down the field, intermediate. He's not really the guy you're thinking of for running short over the middle. I'm sure he could do it, but it's not really his role. But even when he's not getting open, he's getting the ball. And we've seen it. Those are some strong hands. He makes tough catches. The first touchdown he scored, remember against Miami in 2020? Diving across the back of the end zone and pulling the ball in. I remember at that point, that exact catch, thinking, I already think he's better than Zay Jones.
Was that his first catch of his career too?
It wasn't his first catch of his career because I do remember he caught the first pass of that season.
He
which
did,
would have been
yes.
his first game.
Yep.
So it might have only been his second or third catch, but
That I do know when he did it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And we're going to a rookie on third down in a tight game.
Yeah. I'm excited. All this to say, I am excited about the potential for Gabriel Davis. I think outside of Diggs, there's no one on that offense. Diggs and Allen. There's no one on that offense that is yet to break out that has a higher star potential than Gabriel Davis does. That includes Dawson Knox. That includes Spencer Brown, a hulking 6'8", 350-pound man that is playing tackle and ran a faster three-cone drill than DK Metcalf did. There's a high ceiling there. I think Davis is higher. James Cook has speed, has contact balance, has vision, can catch the football, can line up out wide. I think Gabriel Davis has a higher star potential. The efficiency on the targets he's had, his ability to get open deep, his ability to score, his ability to make tough catches, a more well-rounded route tree than when he came into the league. He was a project coming into the league. We forget that. I remember the first analysis I heard of him after the Bills took him in 2019 was from, or in 2020, was from Greg Cosell of NFL Films on this station when he said, Gabriel Davis needs a lot of work because he only ran three routes at Central Florida. That's it. He ran a go, he ran a post, and he ran a slant. That's all they asked him to do at Central Florida in college. The Bills had to make him into something that he wasn't in college. Use the skill set, use the physicality, use the raw tools. And it developed pretty quickly. Am I not to think that there's a star in there because of what? Because of the draft status? Because sitting here today, Gabriel Davis has the highest draft status of any receiver on this team. Fourth round pick. It's not a lot, but he's the highest drafted player in the core, in the receiving core. Diggs was a fifth round pick. Shakir was a fifth round pick. McKenzie, I think, was a fifth round pick for Denver. Jameson Crowder was also a fourth round pick, like Davis. Nobody outranks him with draft status. And I made this point a lot, but when did Minnesota realize, oh, Diggs could be a superstar? Diggs could be a real star at this position. Was it year one? Probably not year one. Fifth round rookie, you're probably like, oh, this could be something. Starter, pretty good. Is it year two? Like, all right, am I have to be open to him being a star? And Davis didn't have the first two seasons that Diggs did, but maybe only because he didn't play as much. That might be the only reason. And I don't want to put that on him. Am I to put that on Davis, that the Bills didn't put him on the field? I mean, there's only so much a guy can do. Every time he would be on the field, he would produce. So, are they seeing something in practice that made you think he's not just ready? He's not ready yet for a full-time role? Was he getting lucky that he was that efficient when he was on the field? And to speak to how good he was when he was out there, Josh Allen's quarterback rating when throwing to Gabriel Davis was 116.4 last season. That was, among receivers in the league, 18th best. You know, there's only 32 number one wideouts in the NFL, and he's not even supposed to be a number one wideout. 18th best when targeting him in the league. The year before that, a rating of 100.1. Over 100 quarterback rating, passer rating, back-to-back years, when Allen targets Gabriel Davis. He's efficient. He's good. And now, the Bills are acting on it. Maybe they're realizing one of two things. Now he's ready for it, and they think now is really the time to unleash him. Or two, they would think we were wrong. We should have unleashed him earlier. But now we're not going to make that mistake again. We're not going to bring in another veteran. We got to give Davis room to flourish, to be the legitimate number two wideout and not have to look over his shoulder and worry about some veteran that's been promised snaps, so he's got to come off the field for that guy. I think that's important. With all of that being said, allowing Davis room to flourish and allowing him the opportunity to become a star. Can another veteran receiver still exist in this offense? It's a tough balance because a lot of guys that you bring in that you would think I can count on them more than a Marquez Stevenson to be my direct backup to both Diggs and Davis on the outside, a lot of guys aren't going to sign up to come be a part-time player. And I specify outside receiver because the Bills right now, they have a lot of pass catchers They don't have almost anything behind Diggs and Davis when it comes to a vertical threat that can line up outside of the numbers. They have a lot of, specify it, they have a lot of interior pass catchers. They have a lot of guys that are, that their best game is working over the middle of the field. That's Dawson Knox and O.J. Howard running up the seams. That's Jamison Crowder running shallow crosses over the middle. That's James Cook lining up in the slot and running a slant to get some yards after the catch on a quick route, timing route. That's Khalil Shakir. That's how Khalil Shakir operated at Boise State. Not solely. There might be more versatility with him than any of these others, but at his best, it sounds like at Boise State, he was working the middle of the field. Who do I have that can get open deep, can make the big plays on the outside? I've got Diggs and I've got Davis. And maybe I can squeeze something and turn Marquez Stevenson into something. Because right now, I think he's the guy. He's the guy. Because of his foot speed and because of his ability with the ball in his hands. I think if Diggs or Davis were to go down with injury week one, the guy that I would feel most comfortable seeing step in their shoes among players on the roster right now is Marquez Stevenson. And we're in a Super Bowl window, right? We're in a Super Bowl or bust type season. Are we really trusting Marquez Stevenson for that? Nice player. I'm intrigued. I'm wondering what is there. I don't want to, the same way I didn't want to be beholden to Gabriel Davis's draft status for what he is as a player, I don't want to do that with Marquez Stevenson too much either. I don't want to just say, oh, sixth round pick, he'll never become anything other than a gadget guy and a special teamer. Maybe. He's fast. He's maybe the fastest receiver on the Bills. But am I trusting that? Am I one injury away from that? Super Bowl window, and I'm an injury away from, and I should throw Jake Kumerow into the mix here as well, because those are the two guys that play primarily on the outside that are not starters and that are in this receiving core. Am I really an injury away from entrusting Jake Kumerow or Marquez Stevenson to be a starting player on this offense? Who's the guy that fits, if it's anybody? Because I'm intrigued. I'm interested in the idea of the Bills bringing in another veteran receiver for depth. A very specific receiver that is fast, can get open deep, and can play on the outside. There's one thing about this Bills receiving core right now, and I'm including the tight ends and the running backs in this. They're not fast. If you were to rank receiving cores in the league based on their speed, I would bet the Bills are middle of the pack at best. Diggs and Davis have it, but not even Diggs maybe on a not an elite level, maybe just below that, and Davis above average. There's no one with world-class type speed on this offense. And I'm not saying I need it, but I'm just telling you as a group, it is not a speedy group. And I got a quarterback with the biggest arm in football. I want speed. So who's the guy that fits? What you need is a guy that is willing to accept a part-time role behind Gabriel Davis, a guy that lines up primarily on the outside, a guy that is going to be willing to accept a veteran minimum contract to chase a ring. And I'm going to need a guy with speed. Does that guy exist? We'll look through the available free agents when we come back at the receiver position. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you were the Bills, what would you do at wide receiver? Would you do nothing? Would you go into the season with the group you have? Would you sign Julio Jones? Would you sign T.Y. Hilton? Would you sign Beckham? Would you sign DeSean Jackson? Will Fuller. Let me know what you think. 803-0550 is the phone number. Exercise coming up in the second hour. Club franchise. Any better names for it? Who are the real franchise quarterbacks? I'm going to put them in a nightclub setting. Have some fun with that in the second hour. Tom Gazzola from TSN covers the Oilers. I used to do the Locked On NHL podcast with Tom before we both broke away and did our own thing. He's going to join me come up at 11. Really excited about that. Oilers advance to the Western Conference Finals. McDavid overtime winner. We'll get some hockey in coming up at 11 o'clock. Joe DiBiase and the Extra Point Show. I'm going 10 to 12 today solo. Sal and I will be on 12 to 1, and then Sal will take you the rest of the way through the midday from 1 to 3. All that on the way, including your phone calls. Extra Point Show, Joe DiBiase and Zach Jones here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You guys have seen everything about him this offseason. The dude just works. He just works hard. He's a great dude, selfless. He'll run the for the love of the game routes, you know, where he knows he's not getting the ball, but he's attracting the safety and allowing someone else to get open. And, you know, when the play's there to be made, he usually makes them. And that's in turn for his hard work and his resiliency of kind of his first 2 years in the league. And the dude just continues to make some plays and love the guy to death.
That is Josh Allen on Gabriel Davis, the Bills' number two wide receiver at the moment, and I would expect he'll be that when we head into the beginning of the 2022 season. Joe DiBiase here on the Extra Point Show. What should the Bills do at wide receiver? Julio Jones, DeSean Jackson, T.Y. Hilton, Beckham, nothing? Nothing, I think, would be the most popular answer. We got to pull up at WGR 550. We're taking your calls at 803-0550. Let's begin the segment with Tom in Buffalo. Tom, you're on the Extra Point Show. What's up, man?
Yeah, I say to pick up Julio Jones to win the Super Bowl this year and just not put it off and get the depth.
How much did you watch him in Tennessee last year? Did you like what you saw?
I just know he's a big name. I'm not really like an expert. I just know he's a big name.
I am very, very hesitant on Jones, of any of these guys. One, we'll start to break him down one by one here. Julio, to me, he is a big name, and he's been elite more recently, I think, than probably any of these guys. In 2019, Jones had 99 receptions for 1,400 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's a lot of production. Then, injuries. Including a severe foot injury that is very hard to ever return to form from. 700 yards in 9 games, good. 85 yards a game still. But then last year in Tennessee. What happened last year in Tennessee? Was it the offense? Was he just not a good fit? He's never been a number 2 option in an offense, let alone, if you want to include the run game, he was the number 3 option in that offense. They were either running the ball with Derrick Henry. If Tannehill was running play action, dropping back to pass, he was looking for A.J. Brown first. Julio second. Couldn't stay healthy. There was some crazy stat. He left like 5 games early with injury last year. Like, he only played 10 games. He left half of them. So I've got injury concerns with Julio. I've got concerns about whether or not he's still any good. And I've got a recent example of a player of that level that he got old, and he got old quick. And that was A.J. Green. A.J. Green, similarly to Julio Jones, was a great receiver. Then, a couple injuries happened. He turned 30, and now he's shot. Arizona's going to try it again with him this year, but in the last 2 seasons, A.J. Green's been one of the least efficient receivers in football. Actually, he might be the least efficient receiver in football based on the targets he's gotten, the production he has, unrealized air yards. I think he's like number 1 by a mile. Is Julio just A.J. Green 1 year sooner? I don't think. He also fits for being willing to accept a part-time role. I don't have a good reason why I differentiate him from like a T.Y. Hilton, but doesn't it just feel like Julio Jones is going to go somewhere where he's still a top receiver?
Well, I mean, look at when he gets to Tennessee, too. It was sort of that huge buildup of, oh my gosh, look at this move the Titans have made. You partner him with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry in the backfield. Like, in part, he was still living off the name, but the name of Julio Jones had somewhat been declining for a few years. Some of it fantasy-based. I think a lot of us were finding out, oh, this guy just does not score touchdowns.
Yep.
Ever. And now we're starting to see he can't really stay healthy, which then adds to the fact that you need him on the field. Even in a part-time role,
yep.
I think with the Bills, that part-time role would be the third receiver, allow Khalil Shakir or somebody to sort of take over that third outside receiver spot. I don't like the idea of Julio Jones at all. I know Jeremy White tweeted at us too, and it's, you know, Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Fuller I have the same issues with just because when is he on the field? He had a PED suspension. He has a ton of injury history. But he might be the best deep ball receiver in the NFL.
He is super fast. I think Julio, I have questions about whether or not he can still run down the field. Like, how fast is he?
It's 50-50. You have no idea.
I almost feel like it's maybe greater than that. I almost feel more confident that he's just not going to be that vertical threat that you want. Last year, where did his success come from? I mentioned that contested catch rate that Gabriel Davis is number 10 in the league in. Julio's number 4. 64.3% contested catch rate. But what does that tell you? It tells you that some of his production was coming when he wasn't getting open. Because maybe he wasn't able to get open. I'm guessing at this point in his career, Julio Jones cannot get open consistently enough to warrant the Bills signing him. Because that's the new movement in the NFL. You got to be able to get open. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how physical you are. If you get open, you're my guy. The Bills realized that a couple years ago when they switched from Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes to John Brown and Cole Beasley. They went from big, contested catch radius to guys that get open. I'm good with contested catch ability if you also get open like a Gabriel Davis. Julio, I don't think he's got it anymore. And I don't have a lot of confidence he'd be willing to accept a part-time role. And I feel like he would want more money than a lot of these guys. I'm not saying he's going to want $15 million, but he might want 7 or 8. And can I afford that? I might have a Jordan Poyer extension on the way. I don't think I can afford Julio Jones. I'm out on him. And Will Fuller, who Jeremy tweeted us about, I love the player. When he is on the field, Of all of these guys, he's the perfect fit. Age, speed, that outside ability, full route tree, has been a number one wideout for Deshaun Watson the year after they traded DeAndre Hopkins. He can be great when he's on the field. All these guys have injury questions. All of them. He's got them. He's got them maybe even more so than anybody else. I just cannot see. Should the Bills sign him? This is a good debate. Should the Bills sign him? That's a debate. Will the Bills sign him? I think that's an easy one. I think it's a gimme. I think that's a no. I just, a guy that, didn't he like do that disappearing act with the Dolphins last year? Where he wasn't at the building and the facilities early in the season. They didn't really know where he was.
I believe so, yeah.
Like, there's just some weird stuff with him. And there's the PED suspension. So, you're probably good on that, but you never know. And, again, injuries. Reliability. Doesn't it feel like the Bills, like, they love reliability. And he seems to me to be the least reliable of any of these guys.
It feels like a lot of these guys are more mid-season acquisitions. Like, they're sitting there going, yeah. Ooh, we can add this body. There's not a ton of wear and tear. They didn't get hurt during the season. That's where, for me, the receiver I want is Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
But as a mid-season addition to kind of reload, get ready for a playoff run, because the end of the Bills schedule is not necessarily that difficult, too, so it can be one of those where we're not going to the grueling run, but we just got to, you know, firing on all cylinders, make sure everything is going well. And he's dealing with, of course, an ACL tear.
Right. Beckham also is a different sort of idea. Because a lot of these guys, I think, would be considered depth pieces. Beckham plays. Now, maybe you find a way for him and Davis to be on the field. I think that'd be actually most likely. You'd rotate Diggs and Beckham in the slot, and one would play on the outside, one would play in the slot, because both can do both at a very high level when Beckham is healthy. I mean, that is intriguing to me. I love that idea. If you were to tell me he comes back in late October, and second half of the season into the playoffs, my three receivers that are always on the field that I could shuffle around, move all around, are going to be Stephon Diggs, Odell Beckham, and Gabriel Davis. That is hot. That's an idea. All these other guys to me are more, they slot in behind Gabriel Davis, and I only really use them if I need them. Beckham is the one that is different for that. Beckham is too good for that. He's too good for that. It's not even about for him, would he be willing to accept a part-time role? I wouldn't expect the Bills to put him in a part-time role. They would just watch him at practice and think, he's got to be on the field. We got to find a way to do it. All these other guys are, there's not enough left in the tank, I think, to command snaps. They're good if you need them, but Beckham is you're playing him. And I'm okay with that. If they signed him, I would love it. I'm not guessing it's going to happen because, again, the box he doesn't check for the potential receiver addition idea for the Bills is money. Money is the one box he doesn't check. He, no doubt, of all these guys, will be the most expensive. I think. That's the read I get. He'll be the most expensive. All right, maybe Von Miller can convince him to take they played together in L.A. Maybe he can convince him to take a smaller-term deal here. Oh, I would love that. Now that you said it, I would love it.
But to be honest, though, the reason I'm now on the Odell Beckham, I guess, train or bandwagon or whatever you want to call it, L.A. didn't sign him back. That seemed like a for sure. Look, he's injured. That's fine, but we're going to bring him back.
Yep.
And then they got Allen Robinson, and it was still like, okay, but you know they lost Robert Woods. And they still haven't signed him back.
And
so I think even if he would be an expensive guy, his agent may have been like,
yeah,
maybe we just get through this year, jump on a winner, try to get a second ring, and then we'll try this again.
And haven't all the dumb culture questions around him been answered?
They have to have been, right?
It was Mayfield. It wasn't even Mayfield. I'm not saying Mayfield was poisonous, but it's just they didn't work. They just didn't work.
Yeah,
that's all it was.
I'm not sitting here saying like I'm the biggest Odell Beckham Jr. fan in the world. I'm not. Like, I'm never going to get his jersey or whatever. But like, I'm so tired of him. He's the toxic guy. He had to play with end of career Eli Manning and a Baker Mayfield that couldn't throw deep.
Yep.
It's not his fault.
And he really never publicly criticized either one when he had every reason to criticize both.
Did his dad come out and do that? Yes. He's trying to save his son's career, who, by the way, was a Hall of Fame potential guy after first, you know, 3-4 years,
yep.
And it tailspin.
And his quarterbacks ruined it. Let's go to DJ in Virginia before we take a timeout. DJ, you're on the Extra Point Show. What's up, man?
Hey, so Jeremy kind of stole my thunder with the Will Fuller idea, but I just want to argue for him for a minute. So I think we only need a guy behind Gabriel Davis that would just play in certain scenarios. I also think we have, like, the best training staff at keeping guys healthy in the league. I think we would be perfect to take him on, play him, you know, maybe 25% of offensive snaps just to be a burner deep threat for us. And I think he would work perfect, especially, like, keeping him healthy, not playing him too much, and saving him for the playoffs when we would need some, you know, deep balls.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. The bit role player idea, like who fits for it? Fuller, because of stretching the field, big plays, that seems to fit. You could ask him to run one route all season. And that's it. Run the 9 route. Straight ahead, outrun the corner. That's all you need. And that could work. I think DeSean Jackson is similar to Fuller for that, where they're your vertical threat. That's all they are. You don't need them to do anything else. DeSean Jackson, we'll talk about him when we come back. He could fit for this also. He's still playing, which is amazing. And his skill set presents an interesting fit for the Bills. So receiver options that are still available, or you could answer the question as, I don't think they need anybody. That I'm okay with Jake Kumerow and Marquez Stevenson being the Bills' direct backups on the outside to Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis. We'll get into more of that when we come back. Tom Gazzola, who covers the Oilers for TSN, will join us coming up at 11. And I got a fun quarterback exercise in the second hour as well. All that on the way here in the Extra Point Show and WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is it Memorial Day weekend yet?
I'd count it now. It's Friday.
Does it have to reach a certain point in the day?
Ooh.
Like 2? Because it's still the morning.
Yeah, once it's PM, I'll start counting it.
All right, then I'll wait. I'll wait until later to say happy Memorial Day weekend. Well, I could say it. Now that I'm saying it out loud, I say, yeah, it's fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the morning show, I mean, we did it too, but I mean, that's also because we're out of here at 10, so.
What do we got? F1 qualifying going on over there on the TV in the studio?
That is practice number 2. We had practice 1 going on about 2 hours ago. This is practice 2.
Monaco. The picture with all the yachts and boats
gorgeous
in the harbor is just like, you put that on everyone's wall everywhere.
I will tell you. So now that I've gotten into F1, in the past like 2, 3, 4 months,
yep.
I really want to drive one of these cars, like desperately. Once in my life.
I don't think... Would you be able to do it? Isn't there...
No.
I was going to say, like, define drive. Like...
Take a week to learn and then go on, like, a course.
Okay, yeah.
But with that being said, I want to drive on one of the courses. Monaco is, like, the last one I want to drive on. That seems terrifying. How tight everything is.
Every car. My own car. Just, yes. I would crash my bicycle on that. My bicycle. Who calls it bike... they sound like I'm 100 there. 803-0550 is the phone number. Bills at receiver. Do we need a direct upgrade behind Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs at wide receiver? I think I've landed on yes. This is a Super Bowl window. And the Bills are one injury away from Gabriel Davis or Stephon Diggs from either Marquez Stevenson or Jake Kumerow being a starter in this lineup. You got to be better than that. And maybe, you know what, if that day came, maybe they would just sign someone at that point. Maybe they would call up Emmanuel Sanders and ask, you want to come out of retirement? He's not even technically retired, but you want to come out? You want to come back here? Maybe they'd call up John Brown. I'm stunned I have not had a John Brown tweet or call yet. I'm not saying I want to sign John Brown, but you call him up. There are things you could do at the point if it were to happen. And you hope it doesn't, obviously. But if it does, where are they at? Do they trust Stevenson? Is Stevenson that level of player? And I am specifying it to those guys because Jamison Crowder cannot regularly play on the outside. It will not work. Now, could Khalil Shakir be that guy? Maybe we need to give him more of an opportunity for that. Maybe the Bills plan on giving him an opportunity to be this guy. He won over the middle more than he did on the outside in college. That doesn't mean he didn't win at all against cornerbacks on the outside in college. He did. Can he do it to a greater extent in the pros? That's an if. That is an if that would allow the Bills to feel like they don't need to go sign DeSean Jackson, Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton. Hilton, by the way, I've not talked about him yet. He's my guy for this. Hilton's my guy. He's got the speed, and even still has the speed. Watching back some of his big plays last year, he still gets open down the field. Target separation. The health, of course, is a concern for him, as it is for all these guys. But he seems to be the culture fit. He's been a captain on the Colts for a while, super respected in that locker room, and he feels like a ring chaser to me. Like, good pro, he's done his time, he's been a leader on his team, and you know what, now, end of his career, not that he's super old, 32, so he's old, but he's not for a receiver, but he's not ancient. End of his career, let me go to the Super Bowl favorite, let me accept a part-time role. That's the other thing with Hilton. This is just a pure guess. My guess would be he'd be more open to taking a part-time role than a Julio Jones would be. Again, I don't know that, but that's just the vibe I get when comparing the two. So Hilton is my guy for that. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll talk some hockey when we come back. Tom Gazzola from TSN out in Edmonton on the Oilers in the Stanley Cup playoffs when we return here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.